to the Church of God International in London. We are very happy that you are here with us today in services, and also those who are joining us via the internet. We really thank you for joining with us week after week, because of course we do a series of presentations here that many persons are giving us feedback that, you know, they find it very enlightening, and they have questions, and they do ask their questions, and we try as best as we can to respond to the various inquiries that we receive. But we just want to know that we are sharing with you from the Scriptures, and we want to know that we are sharing in a manner that is faithful to the Scriptures, mm-hmm. and that you are finding it, enlightening for your faith, your worship, your service to Jesus Christ. And of course, we meet here at the Global Academy, which is in Hayes. And if you look at our website is www.cgiuk.org. You go there and you can see the exact address where we actually assemble. And if at any time you are in the area and you want to drop in, you're very, very welcome to drop in. Of course, as of next week, we are off to the Feast of Tabernacles. So we will not be having services on the subsequent Sabbaths until the week of, I think it would be the first Sabbath in November that we... In November, am I right? No. I'm talking about October. Yes, so we get back in October. Yes, so it will be the first Sabbath in October that we will meet again here. And so if you want to join us, then you know that next Sabbath we will not be here, but the following Sabbath you can join with us here at services. Also, we want to remind you that we do have an email address. And you can send your emails into us, and that is infodesk@cgiuk.org. infodesk@cgiuk.org. So you can send that to us, and to make any comments, any suggestions, any questions. All of that is very, very welcomed. Now, the title of our sermon today is stated on the board: preparing for the Day of Atonement. Because the Day of Atonement actually occurs on Wednesday. It will occur on Wednesday of the week coming up. So this Wednesday, the 19th of September, that is the date. And we want to talk with you about it because this is really a feast that we need to prepare for. You know, some of the feasts, when they arrive, we know they're coming, and there are preparations we make, but there are extra preparations that have to be made for the Day of Atonement. And these are not preparations that we have sort of just made by ourselves. These are preparations that God has instructed us to do. These are not just things we decide we want to do. So we need to go to the Scriptures and to understand it. And so what we're going to do in speaking about preparing for the Day of Atonement, we want to go back to the book of Leviticus, where this instruction is given. But I want to start in verse 4, because this is the preamble to what we read, beginning in verse 26. In verse 4 of Leviticus 23, God is speaking to Moses and to Israel, and he is giving them an instruction to observe certain feasts. And the Day of Atonement is just one of the many feasts that he instructs. But listen to these words that precede the instruction. He says, "These are the Lord's appointed feasts, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times." So right away, we learn a few things from this one verse. First of all, the feasts that we talk about are not Moses' feasts, are not Israel's feasts, are not the Jews' feasts. Because the Lord says, these are the Lord's appointed feasts. But they are instructed to proclaim it. Why? Because whoever follows God, whoever worships God, whoever obeys God, will follow the Lord's appointed feast. Now, I agree that over the many years that the Jews were the ones that God dealt with, the Israel, because God himself said, I have dealt with no other nation. Why? Because God had called Israel out in order to be a light to the nations. Amen. And Israel was to obey God to set an example so that God could now be glorified by the fact that they were following God's those feasts. So the first thing that we understand today, the people of God are called the Israel of God, and they are the ones who are to be a light to the nations. So we are to be a light to the nations today. We are the Israel of God. So not the whole world, as yet, are observing these feasts. But we must understand the context. So that is why you find that there are few people today that observe these feasts. But there's a coming time, and I won't deal with that today, but the scriptures do say that there's coming a time when all nations, no matter whether it is in Asia, or it is in Europe, or it is in Africa, no matter if it's in New Zealand, Australia, or in the Caribbean, or in the Americas, every human being will have to observe these feasts. But God is doing things in a particular order. Good. So now that we see that, we are also seeing from this instruction that God gives, he said these feasts are sacred assemblies. So what it means is that we are to come together, God's people are to come together for worship on these particular days. And then, notice he says, these are the appointed times of the Lord. Appointed times. They are times of appointment. They're times the Lord has appointed for us to come to meet him. And therefore, these are critical, because God has stated the time for these feasts. He has stated what they are for and what they are about. He has stated that we must assemble on them, and there are other instructions. But in the Feast of Atonement, there are more instructions and, in fact, more warnings than you find in the giving of the other feasts. Let's read it, therefore. It was read as our opening scripture, but that's before we came online. So let's read it here. Beginning in verse 26, it says, the Lord said to Moses, the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. So notice, it's not something that we can decide. It's written in the Bible. The date is written there. And God says it's an appointment. So you get an appointment from your dentist, and you're not going to turn up on a date and a time different from the time that you're given. Because you get there, he can't see you again. He's dealing with someone else. So God has appointed times. And he says, this is the 10th day of the 7th month. Now, in our Roman calendar, what this works out to be is the 7th month. It's the months in the Hebrew calendar are not exactly aligned with the month in the Roman calendar. So the month really runs somewhere between the middle of September into the middle of October, thereabout. But it's not an exacting date. And therefore, each year, it doesn't necessarily fall on the same date. But, of course, you're accustomed to that. Christmas doesn't fall on the same day every year. It may fall on the same date, I agree. But it sometimes falls on Monday, sometimes falls on Friday, and so on, isn't it? Okay, so the idea that it could fall on a different date is not something that should be a problem. Because what we do is, we have to follow God's calendar. And so wherever that falls in the Roman calendar, that's fine. So this year it falls in September, and it is on the 19th. of September. Okay. Then it goes on. God says, hold a sacred assembly. You know, even though he said that already in verse 4, on which you have to hold sacred assemblies, he knows us. He knows we're going to forget. So he's saying to us, hold a sacred assembly. That's one. Deny yourselves. And that denying is really to deny ourselves of food. So it's a fast. It's a fast. That's really what it means. And present an offering to the Lord. And it says here by fire. And some people say, ah, good. So do you offer offerings by fire? And listen, if you go back and look, don't just depend on me. Go back and look in your Bible dictionaries, your concordance, your lexicons, whatever, and look for the word olah, O-L-A-H, which is a word that is being used here for the offering made by fire or burnt offering, okay? And you will see that the term literally it means brought up or sent up. An offering is sent up to the Lord. The reason they burnt offerings is because it goes up like a sweet aroma, okay? But you know today, and let's not be too smart here. You know that Christ has come as a once and for all sacrifice. And we today come before God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus we come before God. Because we come via the eternal sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. So the concept of the sacrifice is still utilized, just like the circumcision of the heart. Remember, the Bible says we must, some time ago it was circumcision of the flesh, right, in the Old Testament. But now, circumcision of the heart. And that is the way in which our hearts are cleansed. And therefore, you and I would not say that, well, we are not circumcised. We are circumcised. And by the way, if we didn't know that, yes, we are circumcised. We are circumcised by the heart. The Spirit of God circumcised, cleanses our heart. And therefore, that circumcision still is there. So we are seeing the explanation being given here, and it says, as the fourth thing in verse 28, it says, do no work on that day. And why he says that? Because it is the Day of Atonement. Now this is very, very interesting. You don't see it written like this for the feasts, for the Day of Atonement. Do no work on that day because the Day of Atonement. When atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. Then I repeat, verse 29, as though we are not listening. So God wants to draw our attention. Yeah. Anyone who does not deny himself on that day must be cut off from his people. Which means if we do not fast on that day, we are cut off from Israel. We are cut off from God's Israel. From God's people. Okay? And it goes on. I will destroy from among you his people, yeah, anyone who does any work on that day. So not only must we deny ourselves, because God says he will punish us, but he says if we do any work on that day. And I think this is so much of an interesting thing that the repeat of these things are here, because God ensures, you know, sometimes in the other feasts, because we have a feast and we prepare food, and sometimes it happens that we we're doing all the things, God gives us nothing to do. Mm-hmm. We have no food to prepare because it's a fast day. Mm-hmm. Okay, and what it means is that there is absolutely no excuse. This is more stringent, this is more exacting than the way it is instructed in the other feasts. Not that we are to do things on the other days, the other Sabbaths and whole days. But there is a particular emphasis. If you notice how God speaks in the Day of Atonement, it is more exacting. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. He could end there. Yeah. But he goes on. It is a Sabbath of rest for you. He says it again. No. And you must deny yourself. He's repeating it. from the evening of the ninth day of the month until the falling evening, you are to observe your Sabbath. These repetitions, and these, in fact, in this, there are three times when there are warnings of death, warnings if we should fail to observe, and it is not exactly like that in the other. And this is why preparing for the Day of Atonement is necessary, because we are not going to be in our place of work. It is God's word. God knows us. Yes. God, he has called us, and we are developing a relationship with him. And we are to prize that relationship above all relationships. Above the relationship we have with family, yes. God's relationship. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That is number one. The most important. The second, it is a secondary to love your neighbor as yourself. It's the second. But the most important is to love God. It is not easy to take time away from work. Not an easy thing. But this is really how important it is. That the world is so astray and gone away from the way of God that we are doing our own thing. And so that is going to be, for some of us, a major sacrifice to be able to get away from work. Because I say this, and I'm going to say it. If I have an employer, and I have gone to the employer, and I say to my employer, I do realize that you require me to be here and so on, but my faith, my God, the one I worship, has instructed me that today I must not be at work. And if my employer say, well, no work, you don't come to work, you have no job. Because you know what? That can happen. So far, we may not be encountering those things. But though, and you're going to have to make a decision. We're going to have to make a decision. And it's going to be very hard, because you're going to say, but if I don't work, I'm not going to get any pay. If I don't get any pay, I cannot provide for myself. I cannot provide for my family. It is, in the world that we live today, talking about a world that is, as the sermon had said, that it is one that is repeating the evils.
Yes.
That is really part of it. So you can see why the preparation is necessary, because we have to have made preparations for not being at work. Then prepare for fasting, because the next is, we see there that fasting is one of the commandments,
yes,
to do. And you know, it is difficult to do without food. It is, when you are fasting, I don't know if you have experienced this, but every now and then your stomach says something to you, and it's like your mind, and they say, no, I'm fasting. Because it sort of reminds you, because our body has a way of reminding us when we are hungry.
Yes.
And so it triggers us. And it's as though, well, I should, and said, no, it's fasting. I'm supposed to be doing some fasting here. So I'm not going to do that. So it is a matter of, and unless we have sufficient a reason for doing without food, we are not going to feel happy about it. We are not going to feel comfortable about it. We are not going to find the power to press on. So it's very important that this is part of it. So doing no work, fasting, and then, of course, assembling for worship. Because remember, we are told to assemble. And this means that we are to be in worship. We can't say, boy, I'm not going to go and worship. I'll just do mine by myself. In fact, in the New Testament, I'll show you before we're through, where it says, forget not You're assembling together for the day. And incidentally, that day is the Day of Atonement, that in that particular text. The day is a capital D. We'll look at it in a little while. But it is there. So that also is very interesting, the assembling of ourselves. And, of course, an offering. He says to bring an offering. So the four things in observing the Day of Atonement are, one, our fasting, our not doing any work, our assembling for worship, our offering. Okay? Those are the four things that are listed here for us to do. Now, for those who are joining us on the internet, because we speak about this among ourselves from time to time, but I know that there are many people listening to us, maybe for the first time, and they are saying to themselves, well, that command is given in the Old Testament, is given to Israel, and so on. Of course, we have already shown that this is the Feast of the Lord, so that doesn't even hold. But individuals could still persist and say that this is not something that Christians are to do. And it is very important for us to turn to understand why it is that we keep this feast. Let's go to Ephesians 2, and let's go to verses 11 to 13, and that will be verses 11 to 13, Ephesians 2. And it says, therefore, and this is going to show you why you are doing this. Because Israel did it, yes. But should you do it? Well, why should you do it as Israel did it? Okay, therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles, who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised, okay, by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ. It's talking to those of us who are not literally Israelites. Remember, you were separated from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise. We were not part of it. But notice it is saying, it is referring to the covenant of promise to Israel, the citizenship in Israel. Because we are, when we are called by God, we are becoming citizens of Israel. What do you want to say? People call themselves Christians. And therefore, you know, because you're a Christian, you don't understand these phrases. You are an Israelite. Just the way someone may come to Britain and they are from another country and they have taken on the citizenship in Britain. You can become a citizen, a process of becoming a citizen of Britain. So in this way, you become a part of Israel. You become a citizen of Israel. Before that, you were excluded, it says. And it says you are foreigners to the covenants of the promise. And it says, without hope and without God in the world. That was our condition before God called us to be part of Israel. So if you're not a part of Israel, you are still without hope. If you're not a part of this covenant, you are still a foreigner. You have to literally understand, acknowledge, and accept that you are not part of the Gentile world anymore. You're part of God's covenant people, which is the house of Israel, the house of Jacob. You're part of it. And therefore, you don't come over here into this house and do as you like. You come and do and follow the house rules. Amen. Follow the rules of the house. Amen. You don't come into the house and then you say, oh, that's not what I was doing. What you were doing? Drop it. Drop it at the door. Come on in and begin to do as God's people do. And then verse says, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So when you say you're a Christian, that's what really has happened to you. You've been brought into Israel and you are part of it. So that is why, you see, many years after Christ ascended into heaven, you would see that the Christians of the New Testament were keeping the Day of Atonement. Yes. For example, turn with me to Acts 27 and verse 9. Acts 27 verse 9, you see there that more than 30 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, Luke, the writer of Acts, records the observance of the Day of Atonement by the church. Now, you wouldn't realize it just by reading it. And that is why it's important for you to tune in order for us to do our Bible studies together. But let's look at the words in Acts 27 verse 9. Sailing was now dangerous because the feast was already over. The fast was already over. Okay? Now, you notice, you don't see the word atonement here. But when you keep the Feast of Atonement, you understand right away that when he talks about the fast was already over, you know it's the Day of Atonement. Notice in your Bible, that word fast is written with a capital F. It's a name of a particular thing.
Yes.
It's a proper noun.
And
so the fast was already over. It means they had the fast. You couldn't say the fast was already over if you did not keep it.
That's
not it. So the fast was already over. And the fast refers here to the Day of Atonement. In fact, it's in a number, if you look with me, I don't know if you look in the margins of your Bible, but in a number of the Bible translations, they have a little margin, and it makes reference to that word, and it tells you the Day of Atonement. You'll see it says Day of Atonement
Yom
there.
Kippur,
right? Or Yom Kippur. Kippur. Right. But, yeah. Well, Day of Atonement, right. So right away, we will see that. Now, if you turn with me also to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. You will see there, and look in verse 25. You are seeing that the writer to the Hebrews is encouraging the church to keep the Day of Atonement, and we made reference to it earlier. He says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Verse 25. He says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, but exhorting one another as you see the day approaching. Notice also that word day is written with a capital D. You do not normally write the word day with a capital D unless it is referring to a particular day, a proper noun again. And notice it is written with a capital D. The day approaching here is a reference to the Day of Atonement. And just in case, you know, you want to do a little more research to prove it, I give you, refer you to look at a number of other Bible translations and commentaries which use the word atonement instead of the day. Rather than just saying the day, it says the atonement, the Day of Atonement. So you can look into your Bible commentaries for that in order to see. So what have we said here? We have said that in the New Testament, the Christians of the New Testament, after Jesus died and was resurrected and ascended into heaven, 30 years after that, they were keeping the Day of Atonement. Now, question, should you keep the Day of Atonement? Are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you following the example of the apostles? These are things that are very important to consider. So Now that we have dispensed with all of that, I want us to focus on why it is that we fast. What does fasting mean? Because unless we have a concrete sense of why we need to fast, we are likely to take it lightly, and we are likely to say, God will understand. Let me go. I'm hungry. I'm very hungry now. I can't bear it anymore. Let me go and take something out of the refrigerator and eat before the time. And I would like for you to know that that would be one of the worst things you could do. Okay? And that is why I want you to understand. Because abstaining from food and drink is not the totality of fasting. In fact, if that is all we do, we are simply fulfilling the letter of the law. We are not fulfilling the spirit of the law. Abstaining from food, there are many people who do that who are not Christians. Many people do it for different reasons. In fact, I have seen where people are protesting and they go on a hunger strike because they know that a certain type of animal, a certain type of reptile is becoming extinct, and the authorities are not taking steps to protect the animals,
yes,
and they go on a hunger strike. There are people in prison,
that's right,
who, because of the cause that they are standing up for, a secular cause,
yeah,
they go on a hunger strike. But you see what happened here. Because people believe in something, they are willing, they get the power to do it.
Yes.
So unless we believe in what God is saying here, we will not have the power to do it. So notice, therefore, that this hunger is not a matter of, well, you know, I'm just doing because God says I'm to do it, and boy, I'm just looking at the time and hoping it will just run away because I need to have something to eat, and, you know, and that attitude alone despises the whole thing. It throws away the whole thing. It doesn't fulfill what God expects. God wants us to have joy. We want to feel something and to do it. Yes! At least I can suffer with Christ.
Amen.
And I can suffer. I'm worthy. I'm worthy of being, of suffering with Christ. This is really what makes the difference. The spiritual significance of fasting is found in the concept, the biblical concept, of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Because that is something that we must know, that it is for a bigger cause. It's for a cause of drawing us close to God. It's for a cause of developing our spiritual muscles, that we can become strong, spiritually strong. And so what we learn from this is that in the very way that we feel ourselves weak when we are fasting and we're doing without food, we must be reminded that is what is happening to us spiritually.
Amen.
When we do without feeding on the Word of God, feeding on prayer, feeding on meditation, feeding on things like the worship of God. We can't see it. We don't feel. We don't have nerves in that area. But the physical tells us that when we are doing without the physical food, because Jesus would say, my food is to do the will of my Father. So there's another food to do the will of our Father.
Amen.
Amen. And so we are getting the concept of what is involved in the fast that we are preparing for. So when we become weak, we can say, my goodness, I see what my spiritual development is suffering. I see that it is weak because, you know, it's been now a whole week I have not even taken up my Bible and read it. You know, I have not been praying. I've not been doing the things that feeds me spiritually.
Yeah.
And, oh, well, is this what really happens to me spiritually?
Mm.
Oh, I'm feeling it now. I'm experiencing it. I know it. I literally understand it.
Yeah.
Because I'm going through it.
Yes.
That is the reason and the purpose for us doing or fasting. Fasting reminds us, therefore, that our bodies are more important. It has a more important purpose than just satisfying ourselves with the food and all the physical things. It is there to teach us things about God. And fasting, our body, is involved in teaching us about God. It is the way in which we bring our bodies in contact with God. Because we're always going about our thing and, you know, and, you know, sort of satisfying this physical structure. But there comes a time when it needs to be submitted. It needs now to be handed over to let God have his way with our bodies. And therefore, am I feeding it, Lord? You feed it, Lord, because it is yours.
Mm.
It belongs to you.
Yes.
My body, you tell me, is your temple. Your body is a temple of the Lord. And the Lord must have his way in his temple. And so you are really a temple of the living God. And therefore, it is a strong symbol of what we are to do. So the fasting of the Bible is designed to draw us closer to God. And therefore, while our body is being deprived, I want us to understand this concept. While our body is being deprived of food, we are gaining on the other hand.
Yeah.
There's something that is happening. That you're not feeling it exactly. But you are gaining spiritual strength.
Yeah.
You're gaining nourishment.
Yeah.
Spiritual nourishment.
Yes.
As you do it. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 4:16. Which gives us a nice sort of statement of that concept. It says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed. There is a renewal. We feel like we're wasting away because we are weak. We feel like we're, you know, especially when you get to my age, a bit dizzy.
Yeah.
You feel as though you've been standing long enough. You want to go and sit down.
Yeah.
You know, the older you get, is the more it may take a toll on you because you don't have that sort of extra, you know, strength, you know, to sustain you. And so you get a little closer to understanding. So you feel as though you're wasting away. Let it be that you're fasting for 2 days and 3 days. You really feel like you're wasting away.
Mm.
Like you're in the process of dying.
Yeah.
But this is comforting. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day.
Amen.
This is it. So when I feel that hunger hits me, I say, thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stronger.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm stronger because I'm being renewed. God is putting his strength in me by his Holy Spirit. What fasting also does for us is it humbles us. It makes us humble before God. Because we begin to realize our dependence upon God.
Yes.
We sometimes take for granted that we eat and we, you know, we are fit and we're going to work and we're doing everything. But when we do without food, it comes home to us that what if there was no food? What if there was no all these things that God used to sustain? Well, the sun was not shining to cause the plants to grow.
And the rain.
The rains to fall. And all the various things,
the
earth
to grow,
that comes, things come out of. Mm-hmm. And I am so dependent. You mean yeah. I could not exist unless God provides all the things?
Yes.
And it shows me my dependence upon God.
Yes.
It shows me how much I must rely on God. It shows me how much I must trust in the Lord with all of my heart and to lean not on my own understanding. That I must in all my ways acknowledge Him. This is what really happens. And it was really very difficult. But apart from that, it is the process of helping us to become better decision makers. Fasting. Yes! Fasting. It sharpens your mind spiritually. It enables you to dig into the Word of God.
Yes.
And to become strong. And to be able to understand better the Word of God.
Yes.
And to be able to share the Word of God more powerfully. It does that. Look at me at Acts 13. Acts 13. Verses 2 to 3. And it shows here about the apostles doing the work of God. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. In the context of fasting and prayer, the Spirit of God intervened and directed so that they could take the right decision, what to do, so they could be inspired by God. That they could be led by the Spirit of God. And so they were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting. And then the Holy Spirit. It's important why it is written here in our Bibles.
Yeah.
It could just say the Holy Spirit has said to them that they were to do so and so. But no, they're showing you the context.
Yeah.
They're showing you
doing.
How it happened.
Yeah.
That the Holy Spirit came to give this instruction. And that is because they were deep in worship and fasting. And this is really how it is done. And so, I'll just give you some references. 1 Kings 21, verse 29. Not turning there. But you'll see there that even wicked kings that were destined for destruction, they received mercy
yes.
from God. Through fasting. The city of Nineveh.
Yes.
Including animals.
Yes.
All of them. Were saved. From destruction. God spared them. Through Jonah's. Fasting. And Jesus himself
mm-hmm.
fasted and was strengthened.
Yes.
In fact, after his baptism, Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit
yes.
into the wilderness to be tempted of the tempter.
Yes.
And he was on a fast. A perpetual fast for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the weakest time of his life. He was so down. He needed bread.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit came. Mm-hmm. The tempter came.
Mm-hmm.
And said to him, turn the stone into bread. The very thing that he needs. That's how the tempter works.
Yeah.
The tempter tries to find the era in which we are weakest. Because that's what he needed. And he said, turn these stones into bread. But Jesus did not. Did not. Do you know that if Jesus had turned those stones into bread, let's think about it for a minute. In and of itself, there's nothing wrong. It's the power of God and so on. Do you know where the sin comes in? Obeying the enemy. Obeying the enemy. The actual act of just of a miracle, which he could powerfully do, is not the idea. The idea is because the enemy told him. Do you know that there are some things that do not look at, like sin that we do turn out to be sin because of why we are doing it? Because we are being prompted for the wrong reasons? Because we are following the wrong voice, the wrong direction? So we may say, what is wrong with that? Why are you making a big thing about it? What is wrong? It is wrong because you are obeying the enemy in doing it. It's because the enemy says you are to do it while you are doing it. You are not doing it because God has told you. So, it is wonderful to understand, as Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because, notice it says, they will be filled.
Yeah.
So hold on. In what way will they be filled? If you're hungry and thirsting after righteousness, and you're going to be filled. It's just what we were saying. That though outwardly we waste away, we are being filled. We are being renewed day by day. Because there is a filling that is taking place. There's a way in which we are being strengthened by God. And so we are doing it. So here is what we... the concept we're going to move forward with during this Day of Atonement as it approaches. As we come towards the fast, which we will begin on the evening of the 18th, that's Tuesday, which is sunset, the 18th, because the fast runs from the evening before sunset and it ends the evening after the 19th, sunset. Because God's days are not like man's days. God's days does not begin with sunrise. God's days begin with sunset. From sunset to sunset. And as we come forward to begin our fast, we are going to remember that our bodies are the temple of God. These feasts that we talk about, including the Feast of Atonement, was a temple practice, a practice of the temple. Each one of us is a temple. And we are really carrying out the sacrifices. We are carrying out all the rituals, the hunger, the thirst, the worship, the doing no work, and all that. The 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, 19 and 20, it says to us, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Let's pause there. The Holy Spirit is in you. It's a reality.
Yes.
Your body, the Holy Spirit of God, dwells in the temple of God.
Amen.
And therefore, we are seeing this, that, you know, really, I'm going about. Can I take the Holy Spirit there? And take the Holy Spirit where I'm going? Would the Holy Spirit want to be in that kind of a situation?
Amen.
Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Would the Spirit agree with me getting into quarrels or not forgiving others? Would the Spirit want those? Is that really representing the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God dwells in us, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. Oh my goodness, really? I thought you were your own. I am my own man. You ever heard people say that?
Yeah.
Over my dead body. You ever heard terms like that?
Yeah.
Oh yes, there's some people that though well, they are the future.
I am lofty.
But you are not your own. You belong to God. You were bought
with a price.
Therefore, honor God with your bodies.
Yeah.
That's what we are doing. We are using our bodies to honor God.
Amen.
And we are going to enjoy it.
Amen.
We are going to enjoy so, so much. Here is, look at the same 1 Corinthians, but look in chapter 3 now, verses 16 and 17. Verses 16 and 17. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Pretty much the same as saying it. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. If you misuse your body, God is going to destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred. You are that temple. We are not just another person. We're not. So when we fast, it doesn't matter of not eating food and all that kind of thing. That is something that anybody can do. There is a context. There's a concept where we are not what other people are, because God's Spirit does not dwell in every person. Understand that. God does not give His Spirit to every person. God gives His Spirit to them that obey Him. And I tell you the truth. You can't come to the point where you're being God unless God calls you. Because no one comes to me except the Father who has sent me draws him.
Amen.
So it is God's initiative for bringing us to him, then giving us his Spirit, and we are changed. We are transformed. We are a different kind of being. We are not the kind of person that we used to be before God called us. Look at this. Ephesians 6 verse 16. It shows you God's temple is a place of continuous prayer. God's temple is a place where prayer continues. Some people say, oh, you are a Sabbath keeper. Says only on the Sabbath you worship God. Oh, how foolish. You are a Sunday keeper. And it's not only on Sunday you worship God. Why did you say something like that to me? Because you know that you go to church on Sunday and you know you try to worship God right through all the time. Why do you say that to me? You see, that's the wrong thing to say. You wouldn't say something like that. Because you know that we must constantly be praying without ceasing. So here it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Why can you pray in the Spirit? Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. So prayer is not only when you get a chance to go and, you know, and some people they pray loudly. Everybody must hear what they're praying. And some people they pray in confusion and all that kind of thing. No. Prayer is a constant communication. A presence that you're always in his presence. And you're always communing with God. Everything that you do, you think of it through the mind of God, through the eyes of God. The meaning, what does this mean? So far as God is concerned. Because God dwells in you. There's no time when you are on your own. You're not on your own. You're always in his presence because he dwells in you. So your body is a constant place of prayer. Never cease to pray, no matter where you are. You're on the bus, you're driving, you're working. Do you know you can be working and still praying?
Yes
you can.
That's
you can. Then how come you're working and you're still listening to music? You're listening to music and you're working, aren't you? Yeah. So you can be working, but you can be giving God thanks for the strength to continue. You can be remembering scriptures in your mind, psalms of praise. Your mind is totally preoccupied. Be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. Turn me to Psalm 51, verse 17, please. God's temple is a place of sacrifice. That's where the sacrifices take place, in the temple. And it says in verse 17 of Psalm 51, the sacrifices of the Lord are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. That's all about humility, you know. It's all about humility. Anytime we get too haughty, anytime we get too filled up with ourselves, where we become the center, something's going on wrong.
Yeah.
Where what I'm thinking about is me and my feeling and my rights and my priority and how you offend me and why who do you think I am and all those kind of things. It's about me. It's about me. You know, I don't know. But the opportunities that we throw away. We throw away so many opportunities to be a sacrifice unto God. To say, you know, this is part of the sacrifice. The sacrifice where I have to bear with my brother. I have to bear with my sister. Have you ever read it in the scriptures where it says Christ became sin for us?
Yes, who knew no sin.
Christ who knew no sin became sin for us.
Yeah.
Do you really understand what that means?
Yeah.
Do you know that it is by absorbing the other person's? Do you know we can absorb each other's?
Mm.
Do you know that I can release you and forgive you by taking on? Do you know that although you have blamed me wrongly, do you know that because you have insulted me, that I will accept it? I will accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I want to be a Christ-like figure unto you.
Yes.
Christ has taken upon him our sins to free us. You can free people.
Yes. Yes.
You can free people. You can help them.
Amen.
You can help them to be strong. You can help them to grow.
Yes.
And you can do it simply by following these basic scriptural principles. They are all here. They're all here. God listens to prayer from a temple which has been cleansed. Because sometimes, as a temple of God, we can become very tarnished and very, very polluted. And the temple has to be cleansed. Jesus went, and when he saw certain things happening in the temple, literally, he went and he threw it out. He said, what did he say? He says in Matthew 21, verse 14, it says, when he had driven out the buyers and sellers out of the temple, he invited the blind and lame into it. There in the temple, he healed the blind and the lame. As long as it was murky. And in the condition. No. He didn't bring them in there.
No.
He cleansed it.
Yeah.
Fasting is a kind of a cleanser for us.
Amen.
It's a cleanser where we are putting away the physical whatever and putting on the spiritual. And this is really one of the things that is done for us. And that is why we should not be afraid to confess our sins before God. We sometimes don't want to confess our sins even to one another.
Mm.
We can confess our sins. It's okay to tell people all, you know, these things are wrong with me. It's okay. Well, you think that they're going to probably say, oh, really? Oh, my goodness, I didn't know you're so terrible. And all that kind of thing. Good for them. I am doing what the Lord has said to me.
Amen.
Confess your sins to one another.
Amen.
Whenever I offend you, I said, sister, you know what? I offended you. When I was doing it, it didn't occur to me. But now that I've thought about it, I have offended you. And I want you to know that I have come to realize it. And I'm asking you to forgive me. Oh no, if I tell him that I offended him, he's going to believe he's a better Christian than me. And so I'm not going to tell him. Or he's going to look down on me. And you know what? He's going to go and tell his friends. And that I had to come to him to apologize. And so on, so. I want you to tell your friends that you have a Christian as a friend.
That's right.
That would have come to you and done that. That you can also, we all can do these things to each other. James 5 and verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You are holding back your healing because you have failed to do these things. You have held back your healing so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. That means that even if someone is praying for you, you yourself have to be ready for that prayer. If you don't have faith in God and believe in God and obey God, then you're holding back the power of the Spirit of God. You remember Jesus went into some areas and he could perform no miracles? He went in and he tried and he could perform miracles. And he said, you know, that really, the faith was not there. And he went into some other areas and says, I have not found as much faith in Israel. He found faith in the other places. So let us remember these things because it helps us to be strong and to be better. So, as we come to the close of this service and we think about preparing for the Day of Atonement, we must remember that our bodies, which will be dedicated to fasting, that fasting is not simply just an atonement thing. The Feast of Atonement is the only mandatory fasting in the Bible. But what it teaches us is the importance and the value of fasting. When you hear these things that we've been talking about, you'll want to fast more. You don't just, not just the Day of Atonement, but you go on your fast at intervals. Romans 12 and verse 1. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's the sacrifice you're giving to God. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We are doing that because it is part of the sacrifice that we are offering to God as we come into that very special time. And in doing that, Colossians 3:5 tells us what to do in order to make our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. We must put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to our earthly nature. So there are some things that we naturally gravitate to, that we desire, that it makes us feel good, that we will have to give up. And it speaks about things like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry. All these things are things which when we get rid of them, we are sacrificing. Why? Why is it that we call it a sacrifice? Why do we call it a sacrifice? It's because the carnal nature does not love the things of God, nor can it. So it is anti or carnality to do away with these things. It goes against, it is a sacrifice to this carnal nature.
Yes.
So we are really going through a process of doing what is natural, of undoing what is natural to us, because these are the things that God wants us to do. So as we come to the Feast of Atonement, part of that preparation is to cleanse ourselves. And that cleansing is not just a physical, it is not even, you know, not a, what people would call a cleanse. No, that's not the cleanse. The cleanse that we are to do, go to 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. There's a cleansing. Because we cannot come to the Day of Atonement and not be fully prepared and ready. So what we see here is, it says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves, there's a cleansing, from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. We are going to be so ready for God's Day of Atonement as we get. So therefore, you know, make sure you spend a lot of time in meditation. Make sure you spend a lot of time thinking about the Day of Atonement. Think about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made for us. Think about the cleansing of His church and the cleansing of ourselves as individual, because our bodies have no part to play with the things that are not of God. Let us close with 2 Corinthians 6, verses 16. 2 Corinthians 6, I think verse 16, I think 16 is the last verse, and it goes over to 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. So verse 16 of chapter 6 and verse 1 of chapter 7. It runs into the other. It says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness, which is what will cause us to fear God. So I trust that today is really a day that we have taken the decision to begin to prepare. Do not approach God's Day of Atonement in a casual way. Prepare it with a focus upon Him. If you were and I were invited to Buckingham Palace, and it was in order to have in the presence of the Queen, I'm sure you would go and look at what are you going to wear.
Yep. True.
What am I going to wear? And I'm sure you're not going to be late for the appointment, because you don't want to do that, because you may not be able to enter to go there. I'm sure you are going to think of what would the discussion be like. Mm-hmm. What are we going to talk about? Let me think of some things that she may ask me, and things like that. Okay, so we do that for a natural human being who has a high office. Well, you know what? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who sustains everything, well, we're coming before Him. We come before Him every Sabbath, and we come before Him on these appointed times that He has made. Let us treat God with that regard, that awe, that reverence that He deserves. Let us do it. Let us come before Him humbly. seeking, knowing that we are nothing.
Amen.
And we only happen to have value because of God's love for us.
Amen.
May the Lord bless
Amen.
You. Amen.
Amen.